This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.
It's been a couple of years.
It has.
How are you?
Part of it feels like we've been away for a long time, and part of it feels like it was just a split second.
That's right. That's what Gigi Heidelman was here last night. She said it's kind of weird, this time continuum thing, where it seems like it didn't even really happen. We, you know, GAC 2020 seemed like it was yesterday.
Right.
But here we are.
Yeah, and it's actually been a really inspiring period that we've gone through, you know, watching what credit unions are doing each and every day. Nobody missed a beat.
Yeah, no doubt.
The credit unions just doubled down on serving their members, and whether it was through PPP loans, whether it was through, you know, remote services, to see the credit union teams pivot so quickly in their operations to put all those digital forward strategies ahead in a way that they did. What seemingly was overnight.
It seemed like that, yeah. They accelerated big time, and they did such a great job. And you guys were a part of that. You guys were right there in the mix at the Northwest Credit Union Association. So good stuff on you guys, too, as well.
Well, no different than credit unions, no different than leagues and CUNA across the nation. You know, we moved very quickly to a virtual environment and just provided that connectivity to our members and through virtual platforms, virtual huddles, town hall meetings, really giving the members, the credit unions, an opportunity to compare notes. And that's what's so inspiring about this industry. The level of collaboration, learning from each other, just seemed like it accelerated during COVID.
Indeed.
And here we are now on hopefully the backside.
I'm hoping too. Knock on whatever this is. Maybe it's wood, but yeah.
And these credit unions came out of the pandemic better, brighter, more resilient, and more relevant to their members than ever before.
Yeah, no doubt. And speaking of being back in person, I just want to get your thoughts on being back here in person. With, you know, I think there's like over 4,000 people here, so that's a pretty darn good turnout for considering what's been going on.
It's a great turnout, you know, really considering the fact that during all of the pandemic, while we were focused on helping credit unions serve their members, we also engaged credit unions with elected officials and the public policy environment
through virtual means as well.
And so none of that stopped during COVID, during the global pandemic. What did change, frankly, is we brought public policy even closer into the operations of credit union through that virtual environment. And to be back in the capital city, whether it's here in Washington, D.C. or the state capitals, and we've been doing that back home, and I'll tell you a little bit more about it, but is really a refreshing moment to reconnect in person with these elected officials, to officially let them know the credit union movement is here in full force, and it's still committed to their members and their community.
No doubt. And they're going to do a lot of meetings virtually as well here still, too, because there's still some mandates in D.C., so they're going to be creative in getting those meetings done as well, or meet at the hotels rather than the Capitol. So there's a lot of creativity going on here.
And it's a busy week. You know, the president's going to the Hill to give the State of the Union address as well. That's tonight.
Tomorrow night, Tuesday night. Yeah, yeah.
And so Capitol security and all that might be unique, but the elected officials are finding ways to meet with credit union people, either here in conference rooms at the hotel or at other facilities throughout D.C. And then Wednesday, hopefully after the State of the Union address, the Capitol will open up a bit and we'll be able to get groups up there.
Be hiking, doing the traditional hiking the hill.
We will.
Once again.
We will.
So, hey, let's talk about the vibe here at GAC. Obviously, is really, really vibrant. So, and your association's members are sharing with you about the advocacy this week. So, and they're glad to be back here as well. So what are they sharing with you? What are some folks up there sharing with you?
You might remember before the pandemic, we were working on some collection of data, community impact data, and we've taken that back out to the credit unions, collected another round of that data, along with their economic impact data. And so bringing those message points to the capital city, letting legislative leaders know that it's the true economic and community impact of credit unions that we're able to make because of our structure.
Right, right.
It is our not-for-profit structure that we take serious, and we've got to make sure that it does continuously produce real tangible value to the members day in and day out and make an impact in the communities. And we talked about it. COVID has changed our communities, has changed Main Street, and it's so fun to be able to hear the stories that are coming through in that data.
Yeah.
articulating what difference credit unions are making for the community.
Yeah, those numbers tell a lot. So, and tell, have the numbers, have the stories, all that types of messaging for sure. So, speaking of that, legislators are increasingly asking for data. So, what's important to them, and how does the NWCA and the Northwest Credit Union Association gather data for member credit unions?
Well, let me first talk about the elected officials.
Okay.
The audience, whether it's in Congress or in our state capitals, is obviously very committed public servants, and that audience is changing. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a lot of turnover both at the State House and in the U.S. Capitol. As these election cycles happen, we have new elected officials stepping in to those roles. They see the world differently. They see the world coming from different experiences, and they have found themselves needing the facts and data to really tell the story.
Right, right.
They love the story about how a credit union has helped a first-time home buyer or somebody really fulfill their life's dream in starting up a business, but they want to know more specifically, mm-hmm. how many loans, to what segments of the community, and what we've found, when you mix those stories with the facts and data, mm-hmm. those elected officials, whether new or existing elected officials, are tuned into our asks, into our story in a completely different way.
Yeah, no doubt. Are these resources going to be part of the toolkit for Arizona, Colorado, and Wyoming with the possible merger of the Northwest Credit Association and the Mountain West Association?
Yeah, I know we'll be talking about the merger of the two associations a bit later, but you know what we've been able to pilot in the Northwest with Oregon, Washington, and Idaho to get the credit unions aligned to report this sort of data, to be able to tell their story in a unique way to elected officials, mm-hmm. is sort of the groundwork and the proactive work, I believe, has got to be done day in and day out if you're going to tell a strong advocacy story and if you're going to go to those public policy bodies and ask them for either expanded authorities or to protect the credit union charter. And mm-hmm. so absolutely we envision those sorts of tools being shared across all six states. We believe it's the new era on how you do advocacy, and it's not only those facts and data and those tools, but we also believe grassroots advocacy mm-hmm. is changing in a completely different manner. Mm-hmm. We believe that you know, we learned it during the pandemic. We did a lot of Zoom calls with elected officials, but the secret sauce in advocacy is still a hyper-local focus. While we were meeting on Zoom,
right.
so many elected officials were back in their communities, just like
That's
you and
right.
I were,
yeah.
and they saw their credit union in action. Mm-hmm. And so our expanded and accelerated grassroots advocacy vision is to make sure that we can equip the 31,000 people. 31,000 people work for credit unions across those six states, mm-hmm. that we can empower each of those individuals to really make advocacy a part of their job each and every day.
Because
whether they go to the grocery store, whether they are going to a school event with their kids, they're going to run into, in their communities, the elected officials that are elected from their communities. Mm-hmm. And we want to make sure that everybody's ready to deliver that message at a moment's notice, just naturally.
Even in the grocery store.
Even in the grocery store. So Mike, when you do it in the grocery store, and frankly, I'd go so far to say credit union, the 31,000 credit union employees have not stopped advocating for credit union
That's
members
awesome.
Each and every day.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they do it in their work each and every day.
Yeah.
So it's telling that story, but to be able to do it in your daily work, to do it in your daily life, but then to connect the stories on a fly-in, an industry fly-in like this.
Completely.
Really seals the deal.
Yeah, no doubt. And you mentioned that while advocates are here in the Beltway, your team is simultaneously working to advance policy in the state houses. Can you bring us up to speed in this area?
We always call back home first quarter. Advocacy quarter. It's all things advocacy.
Okay.
And it frankly takes an entire year and sometimes multiple years to ready our agenda. And so why we call Q1 first quarter advocacy quarter is each of the state capitals typically gavel in. So right after the holidays, January 1st, all the organizing committees in the state legislative bodies start, they gavel in, and we always want to make sure that they're ready for a credit mm-hmm. union conversation. Mm-hmm. Our philosophy is they need to come to the state capitol to do the state's business, and they also need to have a responsibility to come to the state capitol to make sure the business license of which credit unions operate under are modern, relevant, and effective
Yeah, indeed.
Modern day. So going through the list, we've got credit union update bills happening in both Washington and Idaho this year, very successfully moving through both the House and the Senate. And of course, remember eighth grade civics, you pass both both houses, yes. And then ultimately you take it to the governor's office for signature, so that then the governor's agency, the Department of Finance, or in some states it's called something a little bit different, mm-hmm. but the head of the banking and credit union divisions can actually write the rules for that new statute. So we've got that very rigid process. In Oregon, we just did a credit union update last year, and just 2 weeks ago, we took 80 credit union advocates to the state capitol for, again, the purpose of telling the credit union story,
right.
using that community impact data, the economic data, and letting credit unions share what they've been doing with their members back home. Mm-hmm. And so what we've noticed in those elected bodies, I mentioned it, is a good mix of both legacy elected leaders mm-hmm. and new elected officials that are trying to figure out mm-hmm. how they get through their own committee process, yeah. how they get their own bills or passions, and we insert them into the credit union process. We believe that the ask from credit unions is probably, with all the complex things that the elected official is dealing with, a credit union ask is really a bright spot in their day.
Oh, completely, yeah.
And because we bring solutions to Main Street,
right.
Solutions to their constituents.
Well, as we've talked about a million times before, Troy, is that you guys are doing something right in your area of the world. So because of the market share that you guys have, what is it, exceeding 60% now, 55, 60% now, or something like that? So what you're telling me, the process is working, and it should be a template for others, if not already, that what's working. So it's pretty cool.
I reflected on some of our past conversations
yeah.
here at DC
yeah.
and other ones of your broadcasts, and I reflected that when you and I started talking, we were at 26, 30% market share. The credit unions in Oregon, Washington, Idaho today serve over 60%
That's
of the population.
That's amazing. Those numbers are off the charts.
And the communities want more.
Right.
When you have those state governors coming to our events, holding up the economic report and the community impact reports, and asking us, how do we get more of this?
Mm-hmm.
You know that you've laid down a credit union message that's sticky,
mm-hmm.
that's effective, mm-hmm. And relevant. And we're so excited to be able to do the same thing
yeah.
now in Arizona and Colorado
yeah.
and Wyoming. And those states have been hard at it already, both in Wyoming and Colorado. They're working on advancing public funds, and that's the ability for credit unions to serve the deposits mm-hmm. of municipalities.
Mm-hmm.
And those strategies might be multi-year strategies. And to be able to take those strategies, bring more data
mm-hmm.
To those elected officials, build the case of why credit
yeah.
unions need to have these authorities, why the communities are better when those choices exist in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
In Arizona, they're working on bills to help credit unions, again, be the financial institution of choice and protect the consumers.
Right.
Those sorts of messages play well.
Oh, yeah.
And again, with all those state legislative bodies are doing, the credit union conversation truly is the bright spot of their
mm-hmm.
day.
Yeah. That's a marketer's dream. It's a credit union marketer's dream.
It truly is. We've got a good story to tell. We've said it for years. We wear the white hats in financial mm-hmm. services, and anybody who's involved in credit unions can sleep really well at night knowing you're doing the right thing yeah. for small businesses, doing the right thing for the consumers that you mm-hmm. serve each and every day.
Indeed. Hey, and I can tell by your excitement that about amplifying the advocacy voice with this possible merger between your two associations. So what are the priorities that are on the agenda for the Mountain West, if you can share those real quick?
You know, it's been a fun conversation. It started mid last year when my good friend Scott Earle announced his retirement.
Yeah, Scott's a good guy.
And Todd Marksbury, the chair of the Mountain West mm-hmm. Credit Union Association. We're going to talk to him, I think, here
Wednesday,
mm-hmm. and he can tell his own story about that. But it was just this recognition that we've been successful as a credit union movement, but the issues facing credit unions are coming at credit unions at a faster pace. The competitive environment in financial services with fintechs, national banks, scale, all of that's coming at us at a faster pace.
Mm-hmm.
The public policy questions about who are you serving in the marketplace are coming at a faster pace. And we talk about collaboration in the credit union movement. There's no better sign of collaboration than what these two associations, and it's not just Scott and I, it's our entire teams,
yeah.
The boards, and now we're, with both boards passing the recommendation for bringing the organizations together,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
taking that recommendation to the members. Next week, when we get back from Washington, D.C., we're going to be in the field in all six states and town halls, telling the story of why bringing the resources of both these associations together makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
What we've found most through that journey is the cultural alignment. The cultural alignment first of these six states who have amazing, an amazing group of credit unions, very diverse, from some of the largest in the nation to some of the smallest, mm-hmm, most niche credit unions in the nation, doing amazing work, producing amazing value to their members, impact to their communities, and it's these associations can bring that synergy of telling that story consistently. We're going to blow well past 60% of the market share. We're not going to quit until 100% of the people in these regions in the West have access.
Good for you. Good for you. And last question here for you. So when you talk about hundreds of advocates here this week from both associations and a great vibe at the state events, it's clear that there are enthusiastic advocates in those states. That's an understatement. So how do you keep this momentum alive? How do you keep it going? How do you keep the snowball effect going here?
Right. I mentioned the engagement. Our team feels like we've never been so engaged and understand our members, mm-hmm, and what they're dealing with each and every day. And that happened thanks to COVID. That happened thanks to the acceleration of the virtual environment. And so we feel like that enthusiasm has really nurtured itself. What's so fascinating is we've been out of this rhythm of coming to DC for 2 years. And we come back now, and both the Northwest and Mountain West have some of the biggest delegations of credit union people ready to come back into this rhythm, ready to come back with the responsibility of telling the elected officials on Capitol Hill what they're doing back home.
Mm-hmm.
And with the virtual environment and the hybrid environments that exist, we've got oodles of credit union advocates at home that are cheering us on. You mentioned it earlier, there's a number of legislative offices on Capitol Hill that will not have the opportunity necessarily to meet us this week. That means we have set up virtual meetings next week and the week after. Or meetings back in the district, in credit unions, in community centers that are sponsored by credit unions, to keep that vibe going.
Mm-hmm.
And the word vibe actually got cloned at our Washington Day at the Capitol just this year. We had a group of young credit union professionals, and as we were laying out our storyline, as we were laying out the ask in Washington State, where part of our Credit Union Update Act is passing a law that allows credit unions to make equity investments.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we laid it out on the details, the way we made the ask of our credit union advocates to make the ask in the Capitol, one of our young professionals said, "This is just a vibe that you've got to be a part of." And it's sticking. It is so fun to see the youthful energy amongst the young credit union professionals as the next generation
That's
of advocates.
Good. You want that. You want that vibe.
So when we talk about vibe in the Northwest and in the western part of the nation, this is the vibe. We might be some of the furthest people from the nation's capital, but we will make sure the city knows that we're here.
Oh, you guys are making an impact for sure. Last question. Anything else here to add? Anything you want to share about the GAC this year based on the day and a half we've been here?
It's been a series of CUNA, the Credit Union National Association meetings over the last few days, the American Association of Credit Union Leagues, all the professionals that work on the association side. We too, in our day jobs, just miss being with people. And while this brings the entire industry together, the connectivity between the league and the CUNA system is also re-energized by being back together in person.
Yeah,
and being together with the people that we serve.
Yeah, there's definite energy here, and it's really, really cool to see. So positivity abound for sure. Troy, always enjoy having you in the studio lounge. Such an education and such a kind of a reaffirmation of what we're all doing here, you know? So you just have such a great way of words that just inspiring. How about that word?
Love what you do. Do what you love.
There you go.
Yes.
Perfecto.
This episode brought to you by Origins, technology for today's lenders.